I read a study, a medical study on all of this. Of 40% of the people that were interviewed that were between the ages of 80 and 91 and had a diagnosis of dementia reported an active sexual life. So half of all of the people, 80 to 91, with dementia. And the thing is if somebody has Alzheimer's, it's a progressive disease, right? So their ability to consent to sex at some point is going to cross a line between them understanding what they're doing and them not understanding what they're doing. And it goes from sex, perfectly consensual, to rape. And that's a big deal, right? So let me illustrate all of that. Meet Henry Rahans. Henry Rahans was a sitting state representative for the state of Ohio. He was a widower. He was an active member of his church, sang in the church choir. In the church choir, he met another lady, Donna. Donna Rahans was a widow herself. And she sang in the choir. These two hit it off. This was in 2007 when they first met. And by the end of 2007, these two had fallen in love and decided to get married. So we've got Henry and Donna. They, of course, this is your traditional late life second marriage. They've both got adult children from their previous relationships. By all accounts, though, they had a great relationship. She would go with him to the state capitol. He learned how to, he got into beekeeping because that was one of her hobbies. Unfortunately, very early on into this marriage, she started showing some of the early signs of Alzheimer's. And this progressed significantly until we got to 2014. So just 7 years into their marriage. And by this point, Donna is well into the later stages of Alzheimer's. There was some contentiousness between Henry and Donna's adult daughter. And apparently Donna's adult daughter had some differing opinions about the care that her mom was receiving. She petitions to be appointed as her mom's legal guardian, which is uncontested by Henry. He just kind of lets that go. And so the daughter gets appointed as her legal guardian and decides that she needs to be in a memory care facility. So they get her moved in. When they get her moved in, you know, one of the first things they did there was they conducted an MME, the mini mental exam, which rates competency from, I think, 30 to 0, with 30 being perfectly competent and 0 being completely incompetent. And upon admission, Donna rates a 0. All right, so she's pretty bad off. Shortly after admission, they have the plan of care meeting, right, where the doctor and the nurse and the administrative staff, Henry and the daughter guardian are all there and they're talking about Donna's care. And the daughter asks a very unusual question. She says, "Hey, doc, can my mom, does she have the mental capacity to consent to sex?" The doctor says, "Well, I mean, you know, based on the MME and all of that, no." She says, "I want that put in the medical records." So they do. 8 days later, according to Donna's roommate, it's the evening. Henry comes to see the wife, which he does all the time. He comes in. He goes around the partition to where Donna's at. And the roommate reports hearing, quote, sexual noises coming from the other side. This is reported to nursing home staff, which is then reported to the daughter. The daughter immediately steps in, has her mom transported to the hospital, and has a rape kit done. This then gets reported to law enforcement. It gets put in front of the district attorney, who then puts it in front of a grand jury. If Henry had sex with Donna, based on her mental capacity, she was unable to consent, and Henry Rahans is charged with sexual assault of his wife. Now, a couple of little factors in all of this. One, Henry says he didn't do it. He did not have sex with that woman. Y'all understand, I'm like 30-minute drive from Hope, Arkansas. That's home of Bill Clinton. Anyway, He says he didn't do it. And the rape kit actually came back negative. Despite that lack of evidence, they take this thing to a jury trial. They put it in front of the jury. The jury comes back not guilty. All right? But what we don't know is whether that not guilty verdict was based on her ability to consent or whether it was just based on the fact that the jury didn't have enough information to say it even happened. I have to think that maybe that's the reason, because if we had irrefutable proof, it'd be a whole lot different deal. So let's talk about the law as it relates to all of this. So going all the way back to the early 1900s, the Justice Cardozo Court talks about that every human being has the right to determine what he or she wants to have done with their body. This is basically the case where we get the concepts of medical power of attorney and living will. And so we have this constitutional right to do with our own body whatever we want to do with, but we have to balance that with the state's interest in protecting the incapacitated. In a criminal law context, and let me be perfectly clear when I start talking about criminal law, if you watch Law and Order, you know more criminal law than I do. I don't know squat about criminal. I can read statutes, I can read cases. That's as far as it gets. But in looking at this, in researching this, the what it takes to have the mental capacity to consent across the United States varies. If you go to like New York, in New York, to have the mental capacity to consent to sex, you have to understand the moral implications behind it. So how society is going to treat the act that you're engaging in. Cross the state line into New Jersey, and all you got to know is that you're having sex and agree to it.